following is an unrehearsed taped interview with Edgar Puckett, a farmer in Estill County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by Jenny Scott for the Kentucky Oral History Commission for the Family Farm Project. The interview was conducted at Mr. Puckett's farm on July the 6th, 1983, at 10 o'clock a.m. First of all, I'd like to thank you for talking to me, especially on a day like today when you could be out working. That's a bad time to talk to.
All right. Got to come to that sometime or another anyway.
Yeah.
I don't need to be out working no way.
Well, I'd like to start out, you tell me your name, when and where you were born, your parents' name, just your family background, kind of.
Well, I was born in Estill County, about 3 miles from where I'm at right now, on White Oak, and my dad's name was Joe Puckett.
Joe Puckett.
And my mother's name was Brother Puckett, but she was Brother Puckett Winder. And they've always lived on a farm all their life.
They have a farm about 3 miles from here?
About between 2.5 to 3 miles from here.
And when were you born, Mr. Puckett?
I was born in 1922, the 24th day of July.
1922? You sure have aged well. You don't look that old.
I didn't until I had this stroke, I didn't feel that old. I didn't feel no older than I did at 25 or 30.
You were born in 22, you said. Where were your grandparents from? Were they from Estill?
My grandparents lived about a mile and a half right straight over on the river there. And my dad lived on my mother's side. Philip Winward. And my grandpa on my mother's side, dad's side, was Nelson Puckett, and he was part of the old farm over there. Dad had 1/6 of the old farm over there where we got raised.
So the farm's been in the family a long time then?
It's been since 1902 or 1903.
It's been in...
It was 700 acres at one time before it divided up.
Well, is this part of the original?
No, this is right. Daddy's old farm here. And it's been in there since slavery.
Since slavery.
Been, it's this farm here you right now has been in the family ever since slavery.
Now, when did you marry, Mr. Puckett?
I married in 1940.
And
16th day of August.
And who was your wife? What was her maiden name?
She was William Ray Masters.
Masters. And her family owned this farm?
Her dad owned it, and then her granddad and her uncle and things owned it ever since slavery. They traded colored man to this farm.
Is that right?
And the Civil War had been here that long.
Oh, my goodness. Now, did you all move on the farm when you married on this farm?
Well, right here. That's where we went to when we got married and been here ever since. 43 years. We'll be 43 years, 16th day of August.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Don't seem like it's been that long.
Was the house, this is the house you moved to?
This house right here we moved into. It was built in 1898.
And her family built it?
Her uncle built it.
And how big is this farm?
It's 100 and really, how big is this farm? 167 acres, something like that. More or less, you know, the deed was called made so long ago. I guess it's 200 acres. Of it, you know, it said more or less. It's been this deed was made in 1800 and something, early 1800s.
Oh, goodness. Well, now you own another farm in addition to this.
On Miller Street.
No.
218 acres.
Now, what section of the county is this in? What section are we in now?
I'd say this is it's right out of Irving. It's right out 2 miles from Irving. And the other one's 4 miles from Irving, the other way, toward Vaderville.
And how big is that farm now?
218 acres.
218.
River bottom land, creek land.
And did you inherit it from your
family? We bought it. We bought this straight out. We bought it 10 years ago. We had another little farm over there. We sold to Southeast Coal Company and then bought that big farm.
What did Southeast Coal Company want with it?
They made a big lake out of it, an airport out of it.
Hmm.
So I just got about a 3 times bigger farm up front of that farm as well.
So just trade
they needed it, and I didn't, you know, they had railroad across the river. I had 35 acres of river land, and they had 4 tracks across it. You couldn't get by them farms across the tracks.
So it was better for you to sell it?
It was just aggravating me to death. You take 7 or 8 men over, I worked and cutting tobacco or something or another. And the train hold you up for 30 minutes or an hour. Well, it's a whole lot to that.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth it hardly.
Yeah,
you could get
wasn't worth
like
it. Two run into a whole lot of money in a year's time.
Well, now you've been farming all your life, I take it.
Yes, ma'am, ever since I was 11 years old.
What'd you grow when you were living on your father's farm?
We had tobacco and corn and hay. And I just been very, we had a few cows, we milked the cows and separated the milk and sold things, had some eggs.
Didn't have any dairy cattle as such, big dairy cattle.
We just sold the calves and sold the milk off these dairy cows. And I believe we had 25 or 30 head of sheep.
Oh, sheep.
Had sheep back in when we was at home, and we took care of them. And that was a cash crop in the summertime, the tobacco crop in the fall, and we had a few calves and cream to sell every week.
And eggs.
And eggs. And we took them to the store and exchanged them for groceries.
Oh, you did?
That's the way we went in the buggy, and horse and buggy took the cream down to the railroad station at Hardwood, about 5 miles from here, about 2.5 miles where I live. And we take that down there, and then we buy groceries and come back. They bought the cream, and we buy the groceries we needed. We had, you know, it's a good living.
Well, what could you buy for, say, a dozen eggs?
Huh?
What could you trade for a dozen eggs at the store?
At that time, we got sugar and coffee and beans and flour and meal and stuff like that then. We had a lot of stuff to buy then, like it is now.
You didn't grind your own meal?
We used it down in the, you know, we up in the wintertime after we gathered corn up for spring, we always ground our own meal. Then after about 1st of May, we never did grind no more meal on account of we was getting it.
Getting in it.
Oh, we bought a little meal, didn't take a whole lot then. Maybe had to buy 100 pounds of meal a year.
And that wasn't very much,
was it?
Wasn't
very much. Maybe we'd buy 100 pounds of flour time at that time.
Well, did you grind your own wheat? Did you grow wheat?
Huh?
Did you grow any wheat on your father's farm?
No, ma'am.
Didn't have any wheat?
Well, no, there wasn't no wheat. There's not nobody got a wheat base here in Estill County now yet.
I didn't know. Some of the places did have.
Huh?
Some of the places, you know, in Kentucky did grow wheat.
I don't know of any of them. Well, then after you get out of Estill County and Clark County, and they had grown plenty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your dad and him talk about they used to cut it and trash it and take it and have it ground when he was a boy.
But none since you can
not
remember.
None I can remember it. I can remember him showing us the trails they cut it with and then thrashed it out for sale.
Huh. Well, how much did tobacco bring in, Mr. Puckett?
Oh, 5 and 7 cents a pound.
5 and 7 cents?
I think about 21 cents most ever I know bigger to get bring before I was married in 1940.
How much did it bring now?
About $1.80.
Quite a bit of difference, isn't it?
A lot of bit different, but a lot of different than everything. Yes, it don't go no further either way you taste it.
So you don't feel like you're making any more now than you were then?
Well, if you made $5, then you could buy what you wanted. Yeah, now then you buy $105 worth of stuff, you ain't got no more than you had for $5 then.
Well, the time you count your fertilizer and everything, especially you don't.
Well, back then you could buy all the very best fertilizer you give is about $35 a ton.
And now that's
$165 to $200 a ton.
So it's raised a lot more than the price you get for your tobacco, isn't it?
Well, there's a lot of difference in it. There's much more stuff you have to use. Back then, you didn't have to use this ready meal, and you didn't have to use this stuff to keep all these bugs and things off of it now.
Why is that?
Well, I just say it's disease and things that you got into the tobacco that you never heard of, like the wilt and the black shank and all that. I didn't ever, if it had any of it when I was a kid, before I married, nobody didn't know anything about it.
Didn't have any trouble with it?
No, ma'am, we didn't have no trouble.
Oh, I wonder why that is. Well, did your father didn't grow corn to sell or anything?
No, we just grow stuff to live on. We have corn, we have cane patch, made our own molasses, and we grow enough corn to feed our team, feed our cows, and feed our hogs. We always kept one sow, and we'd always take the pigs and fatten them up, and then we'd fatten about 5 or 6 or 7 hogs, and then sell half of them, get our money back out of them, and eat the other half.
So you grew everything, you raised everything
right.
You ate just about, didn't you?
Then see, we separate that milk, we give the milk to the hogs.
So
and there ain't no much difference in it. Now then you got light bills and telephone bills and water bills and gas bills and things like that. And all we had was a coal oil bill, but maybe $1 worth of coal oil a month would do burn the lamps and the lanterns and things like that.
And you cut your own wood, you had your own heat.
Cut our own wood, had a cross-cut saw, and maybe about 2 files a year to sharpen them with, and had a big old grinding stone you'd grind the axe on. And there's not a whole lot of difference, and I don't see it. It just takes so much more to live now. Like mules, we never had to buy anything for them horses. Now then you got the tractor, well, some of them tractors we got to use $25 to $30 worth of fuel a day.
Whew.
So you got
you
to
have
make,
to make a big profit.
You got to make more now, just even be live just like you lived then. You make a little more now, but then if you have bad luck, you lose a lot more.
Lose a lot more, don't you?
That's right.
What do you raise on these farms now?
We got 9 acres of wheat up there, and we got 5 acres of tobacco. We got about 40 acres of corn, and I got 60 acres in the soil bank. And we got hay, we got cattle, we got hogs, and horses, and just about anything you want, chickens.
What do you sell off now? What's your cash crops now?
Well, our eggs, and we have eggs that sell it all the time, and we got... Cattle we sell different times of year.
Is this beef cattle?
Beef cattle.
What kind?
We got the registered Old Hereford, and we got the Black Angus.
Which one do you like better?
Well, I believe the Black Angus hustles better. They eat, they move around better, and you don't have as much proper veterinary bill with veterinary bills anymore with them Old Hereford when you have a little trouble on the calving. Veterinary bills eat you up.
What about Charlay? Have you ever tried Charlay?
Huh?
Have you ever
tried Charlay? I've tried them, but they weigh good, but the loss of them is so high that you just can't stand the pressure.
You mean losing calves? Or?
They lose their calves. The calves come so big that they lose
the calves.
And your loss is too big in them.
So you'd prefer Angus out of...
Yeah, you can take... Well, easy. You take 3 big holes of Black Angus and put them where you put 2 Charlays. Mm-hmm. And them 3 calves will outweigh the 2 cows on a Charlay if you don't have bad luck with them.
So the Angus is better then?
It's a lot better for this part of the county.
And how many do you sell a year? How many average? An average year, a good year, how many do you sell?
About 40. Mm-hmm. Maybe 50.
That's a lot of calves.
That's a whole lot.
You sell them at feeder sales?
I usually say, no, ma'am, I don't like the feeder sale. I do sell mine. I usually have good stuff and they bring just as much or more than they will on the feeder sale. Because you take the best you got and put them in with somebody else, it's always a racket. You know what I mean? Somebody's got some bandits head up, they put a few bandits in with your good ones, and their good ones bring just as bad and bring as much as your good ones. So if you've got good cattle, you can sell them anytime you want to sell them. They bring just as much on one place they will the other.
Do you sell them here or you sell them in?
I go to Winchester, Richmond, Lexington, whichever one I think's the best market. My hogs, I sell hogs every year. I got 10 sows. We sell the pigs. May have to top out some I got now. They've gone down to nothing now. Corn prices. It's got higher. There ain't nobody want them.
Well, Well, tell me, is this soil bank, is that going to make a difference in the pigs? Is that going to hurt the pork market?
I think it has. People didn't raise no corn now. They'll just raise it and sell it. Me, I just put mine in the soil bank because we were sick.
Well, what about the soil bank? What about the corn? They give you corn back, is that right?
Yeah, I took corn. Mine all come in corn. I get 2,332 bushel of corn. Now, I have sow that down and cut it off. That'll let the land rest a little, too.
But you have to keep it cleaned off, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
You can't let it grow back up.
That's right. You can't take nothing off of it. You just have to
set
it aside. And then after October the 14th or 15th, I can turn my cattle in there and graze it, see?
But for this length of time, you have to
You can't do nothing, but I can't cut the hay or nothing off of it. We're cutting it off up there right now.
Okay, we were talking about what you sold off this farm now in the soil bank.
I don't sell any of it, I just feed it.
Just feed the corn?
I wouldn't even put it in the soil bank, but I was sick and I just put it in there in the soil bank because I didn't know what I had anybody to take care of it or not.
Yeah. Well, the corn you got, was it good?
Ma'am?
The corn they gave you back, was it good?
I don't
good?
Know, I've never gotten that
Never gotten
before.
I told
you. I won't know till after October the 15th.
As to whether or not it's any good.
It's supposed to be number two corn, and number two corn's good corn. Number two, because it's got cracked grains in it, but now what we get, I don't know.
Well, I talked to some people who were unhappy with what they were getting.
Well, ma'am, I don't guess there's nothing you can do about it. I don't know about that. It just, it ain't going to cost me nothing anyhow, so it just...
It's just there.
It's just there, and that's it.
Use it to feed the hogs, whatever.
Feed the hogs, feed the cattle, and chickens.
You don't sell hay or corn either one?
We sell, well, I don't, but my grandson, he always helps me, and then he maybe cut a little hay for somebody and sell a hay or bale hay or something like that. He's got to make a living too, aren't you?
Well, now, how many children do you have?
Two.
Two girls, right?
Two girls, and they got one grandson's all I got.
And that grandson's a big help?
I give him a third of everything on the farm. I give him a third, take a third, and put a third back on the farm.
And it works out well for all three of us?
Half one in the back, yeah. See, he gets a third of this corn on we're getting. He gets a third of the corn, he gets half of the tobacco. And the hay we feed the cattle. But then if he gets out and bales hay for people, or gets out of the piece of fish and he sells it, he does whatever he wants to
with that. Mm-hmm. And you've already deeded him the...
No, ma'am, but...
But you will.
Go out and fix it. I thought we said we were going to do it as soon as I got able. We, get around, but we were going to make a wheel that way. So, you know what I mean? Something could happen. It costs her a whole lot, and I'm going to fix it for her. Long as she lives or I live, I get a third and him a third, and then it go to him, that place up there, and the two girls get this place.
Well, now, will he stay on the farm, Mr. Puckett? And
he's going to have to if he gets it. That's the way it's going to be.
But you think he will, though, don't you?
I'm pretty sure he will. He makes all good on it.
Yeah. And likes farming.
He likes it. He likes to go when he wants to. And he likes to go to these bull shoots and things like that. And he can't do that work, public work.
That's
right. See, he won the first place that has it Sunday.
Hmm.
He won the first place. I'd say in the last 6 weeks, he's won two or three first places.
Oh, is that right?
Huh.
So, farm life, you can take the free time.
You've got more free time than you have anything, yes. But there's never time you're out of a job. I've heard people say on the farm all my life, well, I got my work all done. I ain't got nothing to do. I get out of work a day or something. I could find a man on this, find a job for 10 men on this farm every day, 7 days a week.
There's always something to do, isn't there, if you want to do it?
Well, it wouldn't be so bad if this government is hurting us worse than anything. Yes, this welfare. People that used to get to work to help you, they won't work now. And if they work, if you hire anybody, you can't hire them and pay them like you can, unless you got them straight time.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hire a man, you just can't hire him unless you pay him straight cash. He won't work no other way. That hurts.
That takes away from his welfare.
Well, that's what I say.
Find out.
Yeah.
Well, how much does it cost to hire someone to work on the farm? How much do you pay
them? It costs anywhere from $15 to $30 a day.
And that's just for everyday labor?
Everyday, just common labor. And some of them don't even know how to even do that. You got to show them what to do. You just have to get whoever you can get, whenever you can get. And if I say, well, I'll help you, they cut my check out. They don't want to work. They won't work.
You want something from the government?
That's right. They just won't work on account of the government. They got, I don't blame them in a way. They got a pension made, don't have to work for it or nothing, which is wrong. The government ought to set it up. If you had to work to do it, then do it to cut the check that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're drawing unemployment from a place,
you still can't work and help nobody.
But if you refuse a job, you can't draw that unemployment.
Well, who can pay that kind of price on the farm?
No one. No
well,
one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't pay, so you can't. They can't turn it down because you can't pay that kind of price on the farm,
right.
And you can't force them to do it.
Well, with the politicians, is local politicians any help to farmers in Estill County?
The what?
Local politicians, the elected officials here.
Well, some they could or they couldn't, you know, either way. Sometimes we get them in that does pretty good and some that don't. We got the county agents awful good to help us up here. Anything you want to know about the farm, if you don't know about it, he's good to help you. If you don't know it, he'll find it out for you.
So he's a big help then, isn't he?
He's a big help and an awful good man with it.
Hmm.
Fred Watson.
Fred Watson.
He's an awful good man. In fact, I'd have to say he's the best county agent we've ever had.
Hmm. What about the state government?
I don't fool with it too much because, see, you know
what
I mean?
You're not a politician.
I damn did have food. I'm not much of a politician. I'm worse than the world, I reckon. I like to vote for whoever I want to, regardless of what his politics is. Democrat, if I think he's the best man I vote for, I don't forget about his politics.
Well, has there been anything done in state government in the last, say, 10, 15 years to really help you all, to help the farmers?
Yeah, this year, tobacco base holding this cracker price up in a way it helps you. But labor's so high, if you don't hold that price up, well, they just can't do it because the labor just eats you
out.
You just can't hire a man to work in tobacco less than $5-$7 an hour now. I mean, that just, you know what I mean? People think they're getting rich off that tobacco, but when you get in there, you ain't made a whole lot of it because the labor eats you.
Yeah, the labor kills you, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Mm. Well, what about the national government, federal government? Do they do anything? Has there been any laws passed?
You know what I mean? I've always had a good job, never had to worry about something like that. I never did food with it. I just run this just like I wanted to. Yeah, I had a good job. I hope we get to go back to it this hand and get the best.
Oh, you will. Looks like to me you're doing fine. You're still running it. What's going to happen, Mr. Puckett, to all the small farms? Are they finally going to have to go out of business?
I'd say eventually they will, because the only thing to be gone will be just somebody that's got a little tractor and a little farm. A young boy's not got a chance to get back in because the interest rates would... If he bought a $40,000 or $50,000 farm, we just put it that way, and he'd take another $40,000 or $50,000 to put his cattle and his tractor stuff to take care of it in this higher interest rate. Why, there's no way they can do it.
No way a young person can buy a farm.
A young person can borrow that much money and go ahead and make the interest on it. Yeah, that's where I think that our government should step in this interest rate. Because it's just like this. If I sell this farm and I put it in the bank, on the interest rate, there ain't no tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
This $50,000 farm, you got to pay $50,000 on $50,000 farm. Now, I think it should be a tax on money. I think we'll loosen up anything worse than anything else. Because people are selling this money and putting the money back up. They don't have to pay no taxes on it. I think that's what, and the high interest rate.
So a young person just couldn't go out and do it.
Just can't do it. If they would put a tax on this here money like they do property, which is all the same difference. There's no difference in $100 worth of $100,000 worth of property and $100,000 in money is actually making more money than the farms are making. And still yet he don't have to pay no taxes on it. But well, if we make $20,000 on the farm, we got to pay on $20,000. And we had to pay a taxes on a $100,000 farm. But the man that's got a $100,000 in the bank, he's not got no taxes to pay on that, only what he makes at the end of the year, like the same thing. And so it's got to be something equalized up there. If not, they're going to get all the money in the bank, and it's not going to do nobody no good.
And all these little farmers will be out of business. Young people, children can't afford to stay on the farm unless it's one that's already set up and working like yours is. Young people are going to have to leave to make a living, aren't they?
They're going to have to leave. They ain't no way possible they can get started on that. Hadn't that just taken the old kids, you got kids, they couldn't go far to that little farm and buy $40,000 to $50,000 and start out on a little farm. There's no way you can do it.
They couldn't pay the interest on it, could they?
That's right. Not the high interest rate you couldn't. Right. You take one good tractor outfit, and you take a tractor, plow, hard, mowing machine, a corn planter, and a hay baler, and a rake. You're talking about $40,000 right there.
Oh, my goodness.
And if it's a big enough tractor and one outfit, it could cost you $60,000 or $70,000.
Well, now, how many tractors do you own?
I believe there's 7 here.
How many vehicles?
There's 7 flatbed trucks and 2 four-wheel drive trucks. And 2 Jeeps.
There's no way a young person can come up with all that.
Ma'am, I worked a lifetime for that. And I don't pull no money away for nothing. I'd say that's my foolish is buying stuff like that. I got dump trucks, dozers, and backhoes, and trucks.
You need all those on the farm.
Well, we have to. We use the backhoe on the farm. We use the dozer on the farm. And then it works out a little bit and pays a little bit. That's what I've done with all of my money. And then, see, I got that van down there, haul riders to work. That pays a little in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of it helps, but you got to have it all to keep it going.
Every bit of it, don't you? I think that's about all the questions I have to ask you. Is there anything that you'd like to touch on that I haven't asked you?
Ma'am, I just love to see that. I think the government ought to set in a price on the farmers would help them more than anything that I know of, is put a price on cattle just like they do tobacco. Now, your meat prices never go down.
Right.
All right, hogs, if hogs bring 30 cents a pound, they sell the meat for the same price they do if it brings 60 mm-hmm. cents a pound. I think a hog should be graded and bring us a fair price. And a fella's got 50 head of hogs now, but just like they do the tobacco. If they don't do something like that, the first thing you know, the whole world's gonna wake up hungry. Right now, you can't sell hogs and go to the market, and there ain't no hogs on the market, but still yet the people ain't buying them.
Well, you can't go to the grocery and afford to buy the meat.
That's what I say, it's so high, but if you take a hog right now, meat'll average $1.50 a pound, won't it?
At least
$1.50 a pound of hog meat.
Oh, yeah,
but it's only bringing about 40 cents a pound on the hog.
Well, who's making the money? I mean, I know the farmer.
Well, it takes a man to top a hog out of 6 months. Well, if you raise it to pig and all, you might say that's 9 months to get pig ready to go to
market.
And he gets 40 cents a pound for it. And the fellow at the store selling it anywhere from $1.50 to $2.50 a pound, and now you can figure it out for yourself. But high labor may be eating him up. I don't know.
Somewhere
or another is skinning the farmer.
Was beef about the same way?
Huh? It's the same way. I'd say people has lost money on cattle. They're going to pay for the fences and stuff to keep it going. Like my cattle, the reason why I kept my hat is a lot of rough land. They got to keep it eat off before you can cut it off. And if everybody sold their cattle, what they're doing is the lands are growing up. And if we don't get the farmer where he can make some money, it's going to grow up. And there ain't going to be nothing for somebody to live there. It's too late to holler after it's all gone.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going quickly, isn't it?
Very quickly. Now, right over on the hillside and show you in front of it, when the cattle used to be 40, 50 head of dairy cattle. Mm-hmm. Now then they've pined on it. Six inches through.
Complete woodland.
Complete woodland.
Well, cattle then serves another purpose rather than just bringing in money.
They have to keep the farms cleaned up. And you couldn't farm without them because they're just growing up without them. The fences has got wire and stuff cut so high, a fella can't afford the fences. If you don't see it, once you stop, you can't get back in. That's just sort of like you can always jump off a train, but if it's 80 miles an hour, but you can't jump over them going 80 miles an hour.
That's what's going to happen to us.
It's too late. It's a shame that our smart men can't see, look ahead and see. Because you take kids 5 or 6 year old right now, they ain't gonna have no chance getting into nothing.
Mm-mm.
That's the sad part of it.
Not farming either.
Now how could my grandson get started that if I didn't just turn him loose in it right now? How can you do it?
About young people on the farm.
I think our smart people, they just don't look ahead or they don't know enough about the farming to see about that our young people is our farmers of tomorrow, the next year. But if they can't get started, then there ain't nothing they can do about it.
Well, the only way that a young person get in is inherited, isn't it?
That's the only way.
I mean, you have to inherit, and it has to be big enough to pay for itself. To pay to keep it running, then.
It has to be going, or he can't keep it going.
Keep it going.
And it's impossible to do that. And if our government don't step in and do something other like that, I think the government. That's my grandson's the one took over my farm right now.
One we're just talking about.
Difficult.
I can see why you would be. Looks like he's going to be a good farmer too.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I can't think of anything else that I want to ask you. I'm sure there's hundreds of things I've forgotten, but... A
lot of us have. Well, you know what I mean? You can think of something tomorrow that we ought to have done.
Right, but after I get away, I can think.
You know what I mean? After it's done happening, we can see where we made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's got to sit down and start thinking before this happens.
And look at these small farms, aren't they?
That's
and
right.
Not concentrate on the large farms.
They have 2 or 3 people in Estill County farms heavier than I do. You know, their own farms. But I doubt not over 3 or 4 at the most. A lot of them rent a lot more land and mess with it. But we try to take pretty good care of ours.
Looks like it's in good shape now. Oh, something else I did want to ask you. Do you have much timber on the...
The only time I ever cut any timber off is when you only use it here on the land, or if trees die or two, I let him cut a load or two that's a running or something like that. Other than that, we don't take none off this farm. So this farm here cut all the timber we got on it, and it's got to take care of both places.
So, but how much what percentage is timber, and what's pasture land cultivatable?
Well, I don't know, but this right here, he just takes care of this farm and that farm up there, and it's pretty high. He sell, we'll sell 7 or 8 loads maybe a year of trees blowed down, or some that we won't clear up out of a place or something like
just
that. He'll sell 7 or 8 truckloads a year.
So
and I just give it to him, whatever it brings.
So you do have a lot of timber?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'd say we couldn't cut it out in a year if I wanted to cut it out.
But it's just standing there. It's just money in the bank.
It's growing.
Money in the bank.
But if a tree goes to damaging or something like that, we try to get it out of the woods and get
it out. Protect other trees, too.
Protect the other trees and then gives the younger timber in. And a lot of people want to buy it, but it's like this. What if I want to build a house or two and we need it in a little while?
Or your grandson wants to build a house.
That's right. He's going
to
be a
one
there somewhere. I don't know where.
What is most of your timber?
It's white oak. We got white oak, pine, poplar, red oak, and we got chestnut oak. Well, just about any kind of timber you find here on the place, all except posts. We have to buy our posts. We ain't got no posts at all on the place.
No cedar?
We ain't got no cedar. And I don't want Mary Grove if I can keep coming. One cedar the whole farm.
It would real quick like, wouldn't it?
It grows up in them little cedar trees you can't get rid of.
Yeah, scrub cedars.
And there's locusts is around here closely. You divide some. A lot of times I get out and cut them on half or two-thirds of them. You know what I mean? I've got to look ahead. Now, maybe this winter we ain't got nothing much to do. I finally found have a big bunch of posts. I get out and cut enough posts to keep me in post that year.
And keep you busy, too, during the winter, because you're not going to sit around during the winter, are you?
I mean, farming is just like anything else, public job. If you go to a public job and you just work 3 days a week, that's all you're going to get paid for. The same way with a farm. You've got to work 5 and 6 days a week. And some days, right now, like through April, May, and June, well, you've got to work about 16 hours a day on the farm.
8 days a week. Instead of six.
Yeah, you got to put them in there.
Mm-hmm. And you sure have. If you had your time to go over, would you become a farmer?
I wouldn't do nothing else.
You like it that way?
It's a rough life, but, you know, we just ain't got enough protection. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, our cattle, our meat packing companies can steal us blind without government. Graders are with us. That's what we need. We had something would hold us up there. Because now our corn and our cattle is no higher than it was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And still get everything on the farm else. The farm, our taxes and our fertilizer and everything we have to buy is just kind of climbing tremendously.
About what is your fuel bill? Do you know?
Fuel bill, $200 worth of fuel will last about a week.
Gosh.
I'll show you one right now. Just a minute. There's what two barrels, two bills I got this morning. I went, there's one now. It's just one bill.
Yeah, $64.55.
Now that was two bundles of twine and three little plow points and a pitman rod for a mowing machine we broke.
And just little replacement parts.
Yeah. Now, if I was a fuel bill, that won't do 2 weeks.
$189.80.
Now, actually, we can burn that much in a week.
Now, how many weeks out of the year is this? Is this year around, or?
Well, on us, with first one thing, I'd say that we'll average $300 worth of fuel a month.
Average year around.
The average there.
And then your cattle, you don't get anything out of them when you sell them. Not enough to pay
not
for
enough.
That.
No, our cattle and stuff has not went up according to what everything else is. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's killing them. It's killing
farmers. It's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Of course, the people you go to the store to buy stuff, you say that's too high. But now, I guess how they add this high price labor and everything to it may seem high. But if they had to live a farm life, that's what I said told you a while ago. You're going to work out, if the government don't work out something to keep the price, if meat sells for $2, average $2 a pound, the farmer will have at least 70 or 80 cents a pound for his stuff. And meat sold for 40 cents a pound, I'll be allowed to bring over $1.50.
Well, also, I have a choice if I go to the grocery and I say, well, I can't afford that, it's too high. The farmer don't have that choice.
No,
he has to have the fuel. He can't
just like it. If I got to pay my taxes and I got cattle to sell and I ain't got the money, I've got to sell them cattle if they don't bring 20 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice.
And you can't shop around for fuel and say, well, I'm not going to buy it because it's too expensive.
You can't do it. That tractor won't run without it.
Without it. So it is destroying.
So somebody's got to be elected, be smart, and see that the future. We're going to wake up some of these days just like they did over in Japan and Germany and all them places with nothing to eat.
Right.
It's going to come to that, but one farmer right now is taking care of about, one farmer I'd say is about 5% of the people in the world farming now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it gets any lower than that? And this fuel gets shortage beyond a time of summer, a bad copy or two. Well, 5% feed another 95%. So he needs to be took care of. Anytime five people out of 100 is feeding 95 people, he should have some protection.
Absolutely. It's a scary situation, isn't it?
If you get that down on the farm and study about it, look at it and see how it's going, you can see how it is. Look at your papers. One farm right after the other is selling. They're going bankrupt. Now they go show you there ain't nobody making no money when they go to going bankrupt.
That's right. And when they set for sale for months on end, too, people can't afford to buy them.
Months and months and months ahead. Mm-hmm. I'd say that 50% of the farmers or the 5% of the farmers are in bad trouble.
I'd say you're probably right. And if they owe anything on those farms, they're really in bad trouble, aren't
they? That's what I'll say. They're in trouble. They just can't make it. With this high interest rate and everything is going down. That little farm up there, I've got approximately between $8,000 and $9,000 in the crop already. And I ain't got nothing. I've got no insurance that I'm going to get anything out of it.
One bad spur weather could ruin you.
High water could take every bit of God, everything of God. A hailstorm could tear y'all to pieces. And just anything, a blight or anything. See what I mean? It costs a man so much to take care of a little crop. Well, now, if I do good, I've got enough stuff to feed 400 or 500 people.
But there's always that possibility.
It's that possibility you won't get nothing.
Yeah. And no insurance against that.
And you can't buy insurance. The government forces us to have insurance on our automobiles and things, but they don't force our insurance company. They say you can't sue the insurance company. You can't get nothing out of it or nothing else. And if you do sue them, the lawyer gets it all, and you don't get nothing.
You don't get anything. That's right.
So it's a good policy to have insurance. But you can't do no good. I just like your tobacco. You've got to pay a high price for the insurance on tobacco. Well, in 3 years, 1 year out of every three, it leads it up. And then if a hailstorm comes up, it don't take about 80 or 90% of it, you don't get nothing, no way.
That's right. So it's just not worth it.
I mean, a lot of government means well, but a lot of the laws they pass, but they're not that carried out.
What do you think? It's because those people in government aren't farmers?
Huh?
Those people in government don't know enough about farming?
They're just about like our children. They just want to play around. They don't know what they're doing.
That's right. They don't know what it's like.
It's just like me. What kind of school teacher would I make without education to do that?
Yeah.
And if a fella ain't grown up on a farm and know what his situation is, he absolutely can't help the farm.
Looking at facts and figures in a book doesn't help a bit, does it?
It don't help a bit in the world. If you had the best book knowledge in the world and didn't know something else about it, you just might as well not know it.
And that's what these people are making
all the
laws.
That's what they're doing.
They're just using it.
Well, there's nothing we can do about it. And you take the biggest majority of the votes. You talked about politics a while ago. The majority of the votes is picked up, I'd say, the swing of the vote is our welfare. One of the promise the most in the welfare or something like that, that carries a big whop of the vote.
Well, they make the decisions.
Now you take a vote to people show you how dumb people are. You know, if you had 5 houses to rent, you say we're gonna raise the tax and let people vote on the tax. Well, the vote passes. Them people that voted for it ain't got sense enough to know that if I got 5 houses rent, they raise my taxes $500, they gonna have to pay it.
That's right.
So I ain't smart, but I know a lot of people smart men don't know.
Yeah. Book sense doesn't get you everything.
I got pretty good education. I'm getting enough education, I know I can get along pretty good.
Where'd you go to school?
Went to Urban High School and Estill County High School.
Where'd you go to in the county schools?
I went to county school a while and went to Urban Grade School a while.
Oh, did you? Did you go to any one-room schools?
Huh?
Did you go to any one-room schools?
Yeah, I went 3 years to one-room schools.
You think they're better than the big consolidated?
Well, you ain't got as many kids to fool with, and the teacher fooled with you then. She had to fool with you about 2 or 3 hours a day, and she had each, you know, she put so much time to each class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, teacher, you go to a class right now in these areas where you just each room for eighth grade or whatever it might not be. Yeah, she just signs right up on the board to sign, do so and so, you do it, then if you don't do it, that's it. You just your bad luck, if you don't learn it, it's your own bad luck.
We sure got a lot more personal attention from a teacher, didn't we?
Then I think the teachers give a lot more. Yeah. Of course, a lot of teachers give it now, but all together they don't do it. It's just a job. They go do it, your job, just like, and that's it.
Everybody else does, that's yeah. Right. Yeah, I think we've lost a lot. Well, I think I'm going to have to let you get back to work now.
Well, I've enjoyed it. And I hope this works out all right for you.
Maybe it'll be some help. Maybe we'll get some help.